Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, church family, and good morning those that are visiting our website for this this Sunday's worship time, or basically time in God's Word. But this morning, I wanted us to begin with some praise and, of course, prayer as we look to the Lord today. I want to begin by just playing for you a song that's called the Doxology. But it begins with the word praise. And as we will see in God's Word today, praising Him is what we're called to do as followers of Jesus Christ. God has created everybody to worship Him and to give Him the glory. And for those that know Jesus as their Savior and those that follow Jesus as Christians, we know that this is to be an important part of our life every day. So let's begin by singing the doxology together as we open our hearts to God's Word. Praise has a powerful way of opening our hearts and preparing our spirit to hear God's voice, but also it draws us closer to Him. So join me as we sing together. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let's do that one more time. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today that we can come together to praise You. You are our source of every blessing. We thank You for Your goodness to us. Lord, we are living in some challenging times, but we thank You for loving us and providing for us and allowing Your presence to be our strength and power in a time of unrest, in a time of instability. God, we thank You that You are the rock that holds us together, and You are our ever-present help in times like these. And as we look to Your Word this morning, help us to have a heart of understanding that we will learn the things You want us to learn. Teach us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you could open your Bibles to Psalm 34. We're going to be looking at Psalm 34 this morning and next week as well. So please open your Bibles to Psalm 34 as we look to God's Word and as I read it for you. And we're going to be starting just reading the first half of Psalm 34. So I'm going to read all the way up to verse 14. So let us hear the Word of the Lord, Psalm 34, verses 1 to 14. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, Psalm 34 is a gift from David to us. In fact, we learn just after the title that it is a psalm of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. So that little piece of information tells us who wrote the psalm and what was going on in David's life when he wrote it. Now, this psalm is a rare and honest glimpse into the heart of David, who was overwhelmed by fear, fatigue, and for a moment, panicked. Just as we can be also constantly overwhelmed and worn down by life's circumstances. Now, as I said, this psalm is titled the Psalm of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who was a Philistine ruler, who then drove him away and David departed. Now, following that, David went to a cave in a place called Adullam, and there, with many other desperate men and those who followed David, there they hid in the wilderness from Saul. So this joyful and wise psalm seems to be written from that cave and sung in the presence of those men. But before we look at a few verses in Psalm 34 this morning, let me just give you a little bit of a background story about David, because it's important to know what was going on in David's life as he wrote Psalm 34. Now, after David killed Goliath, David became something of a teenage celebrity in Israel. And the number one hit on all the music charts was a song celebrating David's stunning victory over the giant of Gath. 1 Samuel 18, verse 8 tells us, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his ten thousands," tens of thousands. And so that's kind of how this song went, this chorus went. "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." So unfortunately, King Saul, he became very jealous of David's growing popularity. And to get rid of David, Saul made him a commander in his army and sent him out into battle. And he hoped that David would die in the battlefield, but this never happened. David, in fact, kept winning battles, and his popularity kept growing. So Saul's fear, you see, rested on the fact that David clearly had God's favor, a fact and a fear that was confirmed by David's growing string of military victories. In fact, says the Bible, in 1 Samuel 18, verse 30, David had more success than all the servants of Saul, making David more popular with the people than ever. Now, after Saul made attempts on his life, David decided the smartest thing that he could do would take off and leave town, to go into hiding. And for several years, David lived as a fugitive with a price on his head. He became a wanted man and had to hide. So picture with me David's situation. You know, he has not had many moments of peace. He's always having to look over his shoulders, always wondering if someone had sold him out or maybe someone would betray him. So he's always on the run, always wondering if Saul was waiting to ambush him and his men around the next bend or in the next town. And the same went for his loyal comrades who followed David from one place to another, either fighting or fleeing, but never safe. And at one point, Saul commissioned 30,000 of his soldiers to bring David back to Jerusalem, dead or alive. So during this difficult time of his life, David's trust in the Lord, however, was rock solid. God was David's champion. David only did what God told him to do. He only went where God told him to go. And he always had the sense that God was with him, beside him, around him, always giving him strength in the midst of all of his trials. But like each one of us, however, David was also human, being made of flesh and blood. And all that running, all that paranoia, the constant fear of capture, the possibility of death hounding his every step, well, that would take a toll on anyone. If only he and his men could catch a break. If only there was something they could stop, a place where they could stop and catch their breath and rest, collect their thoughts and come up with a new plan. And so one day David came up with a plan, and it was to hide amongst his enemy. And so he goes to Gath. He goes to the Philistines, the enemy. But this was not a good plan, and this was not a plan that David brought before the Lord. It was a foolish plan. So David is brought before Abimelech. And if David had not faked or pretended being insane, he would have been arrested and possibly killed. But his acting role paid off, and he was able to escape the enemy, Abimelech, and find shelter in the wilderness. So he barely escapes with his life from the enemy Philistines. He knew he had been unwise. When you read Psalm 34, you begin to see the gratefulness and the praise that comes out of David, because he saw God's mercy in helping him out of this bad situation. He is very thankful, and it is here that David writes Psalm 34. So that's kind of the backstory of where Psalm 34 fits in. Now, when you look to the text this morning, Psalm 34, the first three verses contain some of the most powerful and meaningful descriptions of praise and worship found in the entire book of Psalms. David starts by saying in verse 1, "I will extol the Lord. I will worship him." And he says he will do it when? All the time. So in verse 1, we have this praise coming from David. And he expresses this importance of praise in his life. "I will extol the Lord all the time. His praise will be wet on my lips." Verse 2, "My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice." So you hear this theme of always and constantly. David not only praises the Lord continually with his lips, but in verse 2, he says his very soul will boast in the Lord. And then he encourages us to do likewise. Look at verse 3. "Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." So then there's this invitation for those that love and fear the Lord to praise and exalt the name of Jesus together with him. So you can see from these first few verses that David is filled with joy. David is filled with gratitude. He's basically saying, "I'm not going to stop praising the Lord." And David had many reasons why to praise God. God had delivered him time and time again. God had given him victories time and time again. Like I said, David had put his trust in God, and that is the one thing that had not wavered in David's life, is his trust in God. His trust in the Lord was rock solid. Now, when stress and when fear, when anxiety pushes you past comfortable and takes you to those dangerous levels, where do you turn? Who or what do you lean on? Now, society has a tendency to push us to temporary fixes. And what we see around us in our society is that people turn to alcohol to numb the pain or the struggles that they're going through. People will take a pill for it. Or perhaps they will just avoid dealing with it and start a new project or keep themselves busy. Some will turn to unhealthy relationships. Some people will just turn inwards and shut others out and not deal with it at all. That is not how God wants you to cope or to deal with your struggles, with your stress, with your anxiety, with your worry or fear. As a person of faith, this morning, who are you turning to? Who are you leaning on? I believe for each one of us, our greatest need every day is for God. He alone is our strength. And we need to be always trusting in him and walking by faith, not by sight. Proverbs 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." So God's word is very clear. God wants you to turn to him first, then to one another. You know, I want you to picture the symbol of the cross for me. And it's always a reminder to me each day that I am to first, like that vertical long beam, focus on the Lord. Start with Him by talking to Him in prayer, reading His Word, confessing my sins, and as David reveals, praising Him with all my soul, boasting in the Lord for His goodness and His faithfulness and His mercies, which are new every morning. Then I am to focus on the people around me and to build on those relationships in the Lord with Jesus at the center. And so that's the horizontal beam. That's what it shows us. But first comes the Lord, then to one another, serving each other, worshiping each other. Come, let us give thanks to the Lord together. When it comes to praising God, David, at the beginning of this psalm, can help us see important lessons of our faith. When you are in a dark place, give praise to God. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Now, David had every reason to praise the Lord, for the Lord had rescued him from certain death. And when you call on the Lord in faith, He saves. He delivers. When we magnify the Lord, and when we make the name of Jesus great, when we exalt the Lord, it puts our fears and our anxieties into perspective. I don't know what your dark spot or source of despair is today, or where you are at with the Lord. But I know that praise, praising God, it may not immediately change your circumstances, but it will immediately change your heart attitude. Our God is a great God. He is perfect in all of His ways. We should praise Him for what He has done, for giving us this beautiful world that we live in. But most of all, we are to praise Him for His Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His very life to provide the way of redemption for us, God's great plan of salvation from our sins. And so, God provided Jesus as a way to be right with Him, that we might be saved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Have you put your trust in Jesus to save you from your sins? I firmly believe being in God's Word changes the focus of our hearts. And God's Word always points us to Jesus, the one and only Savior. And it was Jesus in Matthew 4 who said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." God's Word is a powerful tool in our lives. Your heart was made for God's Word. And God's Word is a seed that produces spiritual growth in your life. So if you haven't yet today in your life, find ways to make time for God's Word. Spend time with Him. I also believe that stopping and praying will refocus also your heart and faith as well, as you give over to God in prayer the things that are worrying you, stressing you out. You know, later in Psalm 34, verse 15, David says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry." You know, if we have a right relationship with God and are earnestly seeking to follow and honor Him with our lives, we never have to wonder if He's listening to our prayers. God is carefully attuned to our lives and eager to hear every prayer that comes from our lips. The best way, and sometimes the only way, to keep fear from paralyzing us is to ask God for help. In verse 4, what does David say? "I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." But David is also teaching us today that praising God and giving thanks to Him will change our outlook as well. I don't know about you, but praise isn't always the first thing on my mind when I am in trouble. Prayer isn't always the first response when it should be. But it should be, and when it is not, it must be refocused to be the first thing. When it is the darkest in your life, you have to remember that it will not last forever. Joy will come in the morning. Psalm 150 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And in praising God, we are reminded who we are in Christ. the spiritual blessings that we have because of Jesus, and that Jesus is dwelling in us through the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they were praying and singing hymns at around midnight. And what happened to those prison doors? What happened to that prison? It shook and the prison doors opened. Time and time again, we see the importance of praise and prayer as our immediate response to our trials. Are you praising God today? Are you looking to Him in prayer? As you no doubt have heard before, we don't tell God how big our problems are. We tell our problems how big our God is. Amen? When we praise God, guess what we're doing? When we praise God, we're telling our problems how big God is. God is the creator of the universe and everything that is in the universe. He is the creator and sustainer of all of life. Can such a God handle my problems, your problems? You bet He can. Praise and worship lifts God up in our minds and in our hearts and paints a vivid picture of who God is and just how powerful and loving and caring He really is. Praising and worship God puts our problems and our fears into perspective and reminds us that we are not alone, that God is with us. I want you to look at verse 5 with me again also. Verse 5 says, those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. In this verse, David is confessing to us that something happens in our life when we look to God and trust in Him in praise. David uses the word radiant. I love that word. There is something about people who trust in the Lord and who look to Him. As we trust in Him, something about the way we even look changes. There is peace. There is joy instead of despair and hopelessness. And that's because we don't look at our circumstances, but we are looking to the Lord. Even though I am a believer in Jesus Christ, and my life goal is to be like Jesus, I still struggle. I've failed over and over, and I will continue to fall. But I am so thankful to God that He is gracious and forgiving. He is merciful. You know, when we become Christians, sin and struggling, they don't go away. However, an overwhelming, all-consuming grace covers all of our sins once we confess them. This grace means we don't have to stay in the shame produced by our sin. David knew that he had failed. He had made a bad plan to go to the Philistines to hide. Yet God rescued him, and God put him in a place where he was safe. And David realized, again, just how gracious and forgiving our God is, and that is why he praises Him all through Psalm 34. Now, how do we receive and remind ourselves of this grace of God? Well, simple, by looking to Him. Psalm 34, verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And as verse 5 tells us, when we look to Him, we will be radiant, glowing with the light and joy that comes only from God. No longer do we need to live in shame produced by our mistakes and our failures. Instead, today, look to Christ. Ask Him to help us to do what is right and accept the radiance that comes with His grace covering our sins. I love that word, radiant. And it is also a word found in Isaiah 60, verse 5, where it describes a mother's face lighting up at the sight of her children, long given up for lost. David looked to the Lord, and he was filled with joy. He was radiant. Radiant is this beauty that was on the inside that expressed itself on the outside. Likewise, for us in this life, we need to look to the Lord to get us through. It means to apply focus to God. It means to be utterly dependent on God and to wait upon Him. Don't step out into your own strength today. David, he stopped looking at man and his circumstances. David stopped looking at the world. He instead lifted his gaze to heaven, to God. Today, take a look in the mirror. Does your face radiate a good testimony of Jesus Christ? You see, because of Jesus, we have been given a new purpose for living, a new power to live in, not of ourselves. We've also been given a peace that surpasses all understanding, but it begins by stepping out and trusting in God. Step out and wait upon the Lord today. Don't try and do it in your own strength. You know, David was delighted that he had nothing. He admitted that he was a poor man, but it brought him joy to admit he was poor and needy because he knew God was his everything. He knew that God was rich in love, slow to anger, full of forgiveness. He put his hope and trust in the Lord. So as we close, I encourage you today, look to God for your hope. Look to God to be your strength, your values, your foundation, your security, and your light. But remember, spend time with him. Remember, those who look to him are radiant. Let's close by saying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.